Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And he loves you.
For tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. As you're truly Pastor C, we are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister Sheila G. Sheila G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God, and my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, we're here.
Praise God. It's good to be back on the line one more time. One of those warm days in winter in the DMV. I think it got up to like 80 degrees a day, and we thank God for blessing us with some warm in the midst of winter. I always say that God knows what you need when you need it and knows when to give it to you. And we thank God for warm days in the winter. And I know in this area, spring doesn't last but a minute. We're going to jump right from spring right into summer.
Yep.
we thank God that in the midst of winter, we can thank God for the warmth and try not to complain too much, Sheila G, Dr. G, but that's our human nature, that we'll complain. We want it perfect all the time, and then when we get perfect, that's not good enough.
That's
mankind, but we open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we thank you, God, for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study, show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we'll be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Sheila G, thank God for another Thursday. And I was excited when you sent that text. You and Dr. G sent that text today, what God is doing in the life of new birth with the beautification of the church. I mean, that was just an awesome thing to see what God did, and it's continuing to do in the life of new birth. And, you know, you get excited about God when you see him do things that men say was impossible. And, you know, we just give God the glory for your faithfulness, Dr. G, Sheila G, new birth, for staying steadfast and watching God honor your faith, Sheila G.
Amen. Truly, truly, it is a blessing. And, you know, as you and I were talking today, that when God does something and when he does his miracle, he makes it happen in such a way that you know it's nobody but him.
Amen. Dr. G?
Well, I agree with Sheila. Only the Lord could have done that. And then I went down Monday with a little guy who picked up the old cushions, and we were talking about how nice it looked in there. And I told him, well, that's a blessing from the Lord. Only God could have done it with a handful of people.
Amen. And, you know, that's the thing, you know, as we're studying this book of Romans, Paul is saying so many words that only God can change people's hearts and minds. And, you know, this is God's world. This is God's creation. And he's understanding, you know, the power of the gospel, the power of the word of God. And that we have to learn to submit our will unto God's will, and that he, I'm talking about God, knows what's best for us. And when we submit ourselves to that, then God can perform these miracles. God can do these things. But we have to let go and let God and let him do his things. And I believe on the last time we were talking, Sheila G, on this Bible study line, you were saying that God is the one that will prove that he's the one that's in charge, and that he's the one that's in control, and he'll show without a shadow of a doubt that this was impossible with man, but with me everything's possible. And that's the same thing with salvation. That's the same thing with our lives, and the same thing with turning things around in our lives. In people's lives, is we have to rely on God. We can't rely on man. Man is in deep trouble. I think I said deep doo-doo last time we were together. Man's in deep doo-doo, left to his own devices. Sheila G.
Amen. It's really interesting that you opened up with that, because this week, when I've been doing my morning devotions, the subject has been the devil real? And part of what speaker was saying is that a lot of times in churches we don't want to talk about that, and because we don't talk about it and the preachers don't talk about it, we're not showing Christians on how to do battle with the devil. And she spoke up and she said, you know, we always use that scripture, resist the devil and he will flee, but she says the true full part of the first part of it is submit yourself to God, resist
there
the
you
devil
go.
Flee. So it's like, you can't just resist them on your own. You have to submit yourself to God first. Then you'll be able to resist the devil and he will flee. And I just thought it was interesting that you just basically said the same thing. Before we do anything else, before we can step forward, we have to submit ourselves to God first.
Amen, amen. And you know, that chapter one, we finished up chapter one the last time we were together. And When we were talking about the list of things that God was laying to man's charge, and as he was laying it to man's charge, he was saying to the Jews and the Gentiles that nobody is right. I believe it was Dr. G last session. He said that all is sin, from Romans 3:23, all is sin to come short of the glory of God. In other words, he was saying nobody is righteous but God. And so the Jews with the law are still unrighteous because they don't follow the law, and the Gentiles without the law are still unrighteous because they don't follow God. And so he said this whole thing of judging is something to keep the Jew and the Gentile away from God. It's really what sin has done, how Satan has deceived mankind into falling in love with sin and then perpetrating and staying in sin because he's found a foe in the other. In this world, as you can see today, we find foes in the other. You know, even in our country, we have a democratic democracy. And, you know, democracy depends on two parties in this country. And so the parties pit each other against each other, one another against each other. And one party has just as much sin as the other. and they pit against each other, and then drag others into it. And you know, God's ultimate plan, Dr. G, is theocracy. In other words, He's in charge. But ain't nobody talking about theocracy. Everybody's talking about every other form of government where man's in control. But you know, it's a thing to watch how there's nothing new under the sun. There's always one group from the beginning of man that's against the other group. And you know, I look at the children of offspring of Adam and Eve, you know, Cain and Abel. You know, it was a dysfunctional family. Cain and Abel were at each other's odds because one wanted to do right and one wanted to do wrong. And this is what sin has perpetrated on this world. And so the last time that we studied about the people that believe the lie above God. And you know, it's one of those things, Sheila G, you were talking about it, and the last time we were together. It's like they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And I want to go back to that in chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, verse 22, chapter 1, Romans 1, verse 22 says, although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. In other words, they began to start worshiping the creation more than the creator. They start making up their own things instead in the place of God. And, you know, if you go back that to verse 21, it says, For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. And although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles. In other words, they glorified the human being, they glorified animals, and they didn't glorify God. And if you go down to verse 24, it says, therefore, and so God says, here's the consequences of your action. God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. In other words, Sheila G, Dr. G, this is why we are in this situation.
Yep.
Is because we as a human kind in sinful nature, we want to do it our way and not God's way. And knowing this, doing it our way is going to lead to destruction. We do it anyway. Help me out, Sheila G.
You know, as you were reading that, it brought me to a message that Pastor G preached that, and the title of it was God Will Wait, But Not Forever. So to your point, God has been waiting for us to turn things around. He even sent a pandemic to shut stuff down, to show, just like we were saying, there's certain things that happen that you know is nobody but God because the whole world shut down, to try to give us an opportunity for the church to really step it up, for people to really turn to Christ, to really lead and follow him. But even in the midst of that, you had people following leaders off the cliff, you know, instead of, and, you know, with the whole Clorox thing and the anti-vax thing and, you know, just following all these theories, conspiracy theories, instead of saying, you know what, God is trying to tell us something and making that change. And the whole thing came because it was a situation where God will wait, but not forever. So he just shut it down. And here we are again. He's starting to build it up. But if we don't yield and draw others to Christ, he's going to shut it down again. But it really made me think of that message that the Pastor G preached, that God will wait. He still has grace. He still has love, but he's not going to bless our mess.
Amen. Dr. G, you want to follow up on that?
Yeah, and it's amazing how people will just turn their backs and forget all about God, but yet when trouble comes and death hits, then all of a sudden they get real righteous and holy. And when you go back and you think about, you know, the children of Israel when they got to Mount Sinai, you know, here Moses done gone up to talk to God and all that he had to do, and because folk got impatient, they're down there making this golden calf. This is our God. We're going to worship him. And it's nothing new. Nothing has changed over the years. It's the same old stuff. And really, to be honest, people have gotten worse because now, you know, when you think about the last presidential election and how the evangelicals were, you know, they killed me with this, well, you know, we support Trump and blah, 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 this, that, and the other. And now, you know, people are pulling away from them. And, you know, I still believe that the only thing that's going to help us until people get to the point where they understand they need Jesus.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, that's the part of Romans 1:25 at the end where it says, you know, that they serve the created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. I mean, God is like he said in that sermon, he's going to wait, but he's not going to wait forever. But he's always going to be praised. And the devil, mankind, or whoever is not going to take God's glory. And but man is a hard-headed joker. Lord have mercy. He don't believe dude's thing.
Nope.
He going to do it his way.
Nope.
And God said, you want a king? And he said, okay, I'm going to give you a king. He said, you want to be bad? Okay, I'm going to let you be bad. And sometimes our parents, they used to say, you got to go bump, hard head, make a soft behind, shoot, you know, fit. I'm trying to get it all for you. If the shoe fit, hard, wet. But God is not going to let anybody or anything steal his glory. And the sooner we get that and understand that God loves us and wants best for us, the better off we'll be, and we'll be able to have the proper relationship with him. And then when we have a proper relationship with him, we'll know how to treat each other.
Right.
But the enemy uses this device to keep us at battle with each other. You know, it's the black against the white. It's the young against the old. It's the short against the tall. It's the fat against the skinny. It's the whatever. You know, it's like the light skinned black folk against the dark skinned black folk. It's the folk with good hair against folk with bad hair. What in the world is good hair and bad hair? I don't know.
Right.
I'm gonna leave that alone. Hair is hair. It's the high yellow against the dark joker. You know, it's like, you know, it's the poor against the wealthy. And the enemy just perpetrates this thing for the other. You the other. Well, you from this country. You the other. You know, and it creates a thing other than love. And God wants us to love him and love each other.
Right.
and you know, this is the Antichrist. This is the things that are against Christ. And so God goes on, and we're going to reach a point where we see that, you know, it's not just, you know, people want to hop on the thing of the folks that like men with men and women with women, but God says all of that stuff is sin. So let's go to Romans 1, verse 26. He says, because of this, because they serve creatures and the created thing more than God, in verse 26, he says, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relationships for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty of their error. So this is just a list of things that are the cause of sin. Sin is sin. And God calls it out. And so people that aren't men with men and women with women will look and throw this up in the face of the men with men and the women who are with women and throw it up in their face and say, well, I may be bad, but at least I'm not a woman with a woman or a man with a man. But they forget about verse 28. They forget about verse 28 because, you know, the Jew can't point finger at the Gentile, and Gentile can't point the finger at the Jew because both of them are sinners. Just like the man that's with the woman can't point the finger at a man that's with a man in outside of God's plan for a man's relationship with a woman's relationship because he's just as bad. and so you can't point fingers, you can't judge, because later on in chapter 2 it says God is not a respecter of person. And right. And so if you're wrong, Sheila G, God says you're wrong. But look what he says in verse 28. He says, all right, I'm starting to list now. So we started off with this in verse 27, but in verse 28 he goes furthermore. See, folk wanna point the finger, but they won't forget about the furthermore. In other words, your stuff going to get pointed out too. I like Dr. G when Jesus, they caught that woman in the midst of adultery, and they was getting ready to stone her, and they wanted Jesus to condemn her, and Jesus stooped down, and I don't know, and nobody knows what he wrote down in the sand, but he stooped down and wrote down in the sand, and in my finite mind, Dr. G, help me out. I'm just finite. I'm just a man. I think he started writing down the sins of those who wanted to stone him, stone the woman, amen? But after he finished writing them, he looked up and he asked the woman, he said, where are your accusers? And all of them started leaving because Jesus said, you who are without sin, cast the first stone. Help me out, Dr. G. I'm just a finite man. Help me out, Doc.
Well, we both are, but that's the way, you know, it is. You know, you hit on all that good stuff. You know, we have to stop judging one another. The Bible teaches that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it doesn't matter what color, what, how old, or anything else. Like you said, sin is sin. And when you go back and you really study the life of Christ, he didn't judge. He put it out there the way that the Lord said. And we have a choice. Either we can accept it and follow those instructions, or we're going to reject it. And at some point, you know, we're going to have to pay for all of the stuff that we've been doing. People don't get that. They think that every day is supposed to be a holiday. Everything's going to be all right because they're making money. It don't work like that. At some point, you've got to pay the piper.
Sheila G, help me out here.
Amen. And when I bring it into the modern world, it makes me think about people that say they're Christians, but, you know, they'll go to church when they don't want to, or they'll go to church when they want to, or they'll say, well, I'm a good person, and because I'm a good person, I haven't murdered nobody. I didn't cuss anybody out. I didn't cut anybody.
Right.
I haven't stolen anything. You know, I'm not stealing from the store. But by the same token, you're complaining about everything. You're not thankful. You're not appreciative, and you're not loving your brother. You're still being selfish. Like if you're not going to share something that you have because you want it for yourself, which is just as bad because you're not loving your neighbor. But people will say, "Well, I don't need to study God's word. I don't need to study the Bible. I don't need to go to church because I'm a good person." But you don't understand that in your humanness, you can't stay a good person because we've all said this. So you cannot say because you didn't rob a bank, because you didn't shoot anybody, because you didn't kill anybody, but God is a jealous God. So if you're putting your car, if you're washing your car on Sunday instead of going to church and giving God the glory because he gave you the car, that's just as bad. Because God, we serve a God and he's blessed us. But he's still a jealous God. And if you put something and you idolize something before him, that is, from a spiritual standpoint, just as bad as robbing a bank.
Amen. Amen. That's some serious stuff. But let's look at chapter 1, verse 28, the furthermore. In other words, it just didn't stop with the men with men and the women with women. It says, furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, in other words, basically they say, you know, all right, well, you know, God, you know, you do you, God, I'm going to do me. And it's not worth for me, you know, to attain this knowledge, you know. So, you know, God, you do you, I do me. And God said, okay, I'm going to do you, and I'm going to do me. So what happened is, so God gave them over to a depraved mind. The King James says a reprobate mind, depraved. In other words, you can't think right. There's an old saying in our culture, you ain't got no act right. You ain't got no act right. You can't get anywhere if you ain't got no act right. I know it's bad English. I know it's double neck negative. But in our culture, we say you ain't got no act right. And you tell your kids, you want this privilege, you won't be able to do this, but you ain't got no act right. If you have some act right, you'd be able to get and have these privileges. So what God is telling them, okay, you want to act like I'm not God and you all of that without me? I'm going to let you be all of that without me because you ain't got no what? Act right. And so God gave him a depraved mind. He said, you won't be like that? Be like that. And so in the second part of that verse is so that they do what they ought not to be done. So that they do what ought not to be done. Because God allowed them to do their thing because they chose not to listen or obey God. Help me out, Sheila Jane. Ain't got no act right. No anger.
It makes me think of, you know, from a parent standpoint, when even when we were kids, you may remember that time that Mom put us to bed. We were in Norfolk, Virginia, and we had been jumping up and down on the bed. And she said,
uh-oh,
go to sleep. Stop jumping up and down on the bed. And we were jumping up and down on the bed, hit the deck. What happened? I've cracked my head open. She told us not to do it. She told us to stop, turn the light out, and we just got to jumping and falling back. I remember it to the point that when I hit my head, it hurt, but I didn't want to tell her because she had just told us to stop doing it. And I remember looking at my pillow and saw that there was blood on my pillow. I got up and running in. That's the same thing. And I ended up going to the hospital to get stitches in my head. But it's the same type of analogy. God's like, stop doing it, stop doing it, stop doing it. And at some point he's going to walk away. Then because we're disobedient, we're going to get in trouble. And then we're going to run to God and say, help me, help me, help me. And just like, you know, that same grace, I know she wouldn't have beat both of us because we were both good. But she took me to the emergency room in the middle of the night, stayed there all night, fixed my head. And so that was the same grace that grace gives us. But it's the same thing where God's like, I keep telling you, I ain't going to tell you no more, stop. And when we don't stop, he leaves us to our own devices. Then we fall down, then we're like, okay, Lord, we messed up, help us out. And he gives us that grace. But at this point, we have to continue to grow and know God and in the knowledge of God, which is what it's talking about here. And we can only do that by going to church, Bible study, service, private prayer, and private devotion. Nobody wants to do that. They just want to do a little dab of do you, and then they're going to fall back and bump their head.
You put that so succinctly. Oh my gosh, I remember that. I remember that. Jumping up and down and hit the deck, falling back, and you know, got good to us, you know. And you were like, boom. He's like, oh. I was like, what? Then you said, there's something wet on my pillow. Oh my. And then we went crying, Ma.
It wasn't going to say nothing.
Yeah. But, you know, at the end of that verse, you know, we didn't have no act right. And so God allowed us to do the things that we ought not to be done, that we shouldn't be doing. And Dr. G, man is so big and bad that he's going to do what he knows he's not supposed to do and don't want nobody to tell him not to do it. And that's just how big and bad man is. Man is a rough joker without God, Dr. G. He gonna do what he wanna do, he gonna say what he wanna say, and can't nobody tell him nothing. And you know, he know he ain't got no act right, but he not gonna act right anyway. Help me out, Dr. G.
Well, you hit it right there. I didn't hear about this story Sheila just shared, so I see what's wrong. But you know, the whole thing is like you say. But we are like little kids, and the Lord tells us not to do things. You know, do right. But we figure when He's not looking, because we're big, we're bad. We're gonna go do what we want anyhow. And until we grow up in the body of Christ and understand that when the Lord speaks, He's not playing around. And a lot of folk are just not there. And the thing is, we're playing. You know, we're playing with life. We're taking chances. And we forget that tomorrow is not promised. And we
keep
through the motions. And then when death hits, then down off those high horses that we're on. And then just for a moment, you know, we get to crying, we rededicate ourselves back to the Lord, we start
That's
to
right.
do right. But then as time goes on, we forget
and
fall back into the same old thing. But as you and Sheila said, if it wasn't for grace, thank God
Hallelujah.
For grace.
Thank God for grace.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. We are in the dispensational period of time where God is doing something, the dispensation of grace. And grace is coming before the tribulation period. In other words, we're in a situation where God is saying, I'm going to wipe your slate clean. I'm going to die for you. I'm going to pay your price. In other words, I'm going to give you an honorary doctorate. I'm going to give you righteousness even though you don't deserve it. God said, I'm going to shed my blood. I'm going to die. I'm going to defeat death and the grave. I'm going to give it all to you. All you got to do is believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and God raised Jesus, you shall be saved.
Yes.
And, you know, that's all you got to do is believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, ask for forgiveness of your sins, and, you know, you got grace, you know, but folk don't even want grace. Lord have mercy. I don't want your grace. I'm gonna do my thing. You take that grace and you do what you want. You do what you want with that grace. I don't need no grace. Ain't no God, and I'm gonna do my thing. So God said, okay, turn you over to that reprobate mind. You had no act right. You don't want no act right. And so in verse 29 it says, they have become, and this is some rough stuff right here. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness and evil. What? Greed and depravity. That's just a mouthful right there, Sheila. Every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. There's nothing new under the sun. You see this every day in the 21st century. They are full of what? Envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossip. Slanders, and this one blew me away. God haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, and Dr. G, no mercy. Oh my gosh, he put it on mankind. He just called him out and just said, "This is who you are. This is what happens when you left to your own devices." This is who you are. And it's hard to take a look in the mirror, Sheila G. And it's easy to point over at somebody else, but God said, nah, you need to look over in your own backyard and look at who you are before you start, you know, talking about somebody else and what they got going on. Help me out, Sheila G.
Well, you know how I feel about that, the whole judgy thing. And it's like, especially when it comes from self-righteous Christians, like they never went through anything, never did anything, and they're so perfect. But it's like if you truly, truly look at your life, you know you're saved by grace. And if you know you're saved by grace, then you can't be trying to pluck out a splinter in somebody else's eyes when you got that beam in your own. And
there you go.
Every day. has to get up and ask God, thank him, one, pray that he leads God to our path, that he protects us and protects our mind, because we got that battlefield of that mind. If we don't renew our mind every day, that's where all the evil things are, because what he's describing is our natural state. That is our natural fleshly selves with all that pride and all that ego and all that me, and I'm not going to do this, that, and the other. That is our natural flesh state. It's the spirit that takes us out of that, and if we walk in the spirit, then we don't judge others. But because we're judging others, we're not even seeing our own faults.
Amen. And if you don't read this word, I wonder how many people in this world don't even know this is in the word. They don't know it. It's something that's hidden from them, and the enemy doesn't want them to see it, because if they saw it, many people would have their lives changed. That's why Paul said he's not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation. And so he wants to hide in his word, and he wants to bring so much trouble in the believer's life that he don't even want to share the word. But if you look at it and say, man's in bad shape, he's in trouble, and he don't even know it. And I preached a sermon a couple of weeks ago. I said, he's on the way to hell with gasoline drawers on. And he don't know it. Smoking a cigarette. He don't even know it. He's in bad shape, and he thinks he's big and bad, and God let him do his own thing. And in verse 31, he said he has no love, he has no mercy, he has no understanding, he's a God hater, he invents evil. Oh my gosh. And then in verse 32, he said, not only although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they do not only continue to do these things, but also approve of those who practice them. In other words, not only do they do it, but they want somebody else to do it with them. You know, everybody got a big party going to hell. Man, where the party? Party in hell, man. Let's go, man. Let's go. You know, what you going to do? I'm going to act a fool and not be merciful. I'm going to act a fool and disobey my parents. I'm going to act a fool and just make up some evil. You hate God? Yeah, I hate God too. All right, let's go to hell. What in the hell do you want in hell? Oh, my God. Help me out, Sheila G.
But it is true. And then we'll say that the devil made me do it. Was it Flip Wilson or whoever that said the devil?
Yeah, that was Flip.
And we'll blame it on somebody else. To your point of not looking at the mirror, and that is a problem. That's why that evilness. That's why that selfishness. That's why there's no love, especially those that proclaim themselves to be Christians. It's different if you're ignorant and you don't know. But those that will know, sit up in church, perpetrate a fraud, and go out here and be just mean, nasty, and ugly. But excuse that behavior. Make that excuse that, well, so-and-so made me do it, or if they had me acted this way, and that's why I can't forgive anybody, and because I was treated this way when I was young, that's just that's who I am. That's just who I am. Well, when you say that, you're limiting God, because God can change you. He can change your heart so that when that old man rises up, because that old man is going to rise up, you know that it's rising up. Suppress it, but a lot of times we don't want to. I think, you know, Pastor and I were just, you know, we were just having a general conversation, and we were saying, but you know what, at the end of the day, people do what they want to do. If they truly want to be committed to the Lord, they will take that step and be committed to the Lord, even if they're not uncomfortable, even if they have to use that mustard seed faith. But if they don't, they'll put that Christian hat on for a minute, like these people that knew God, take that Christian hat off. What they used to say, take your collar off, put it over, put it to the side, act ugly, and then turn around and pick it back up and think that's okay. And it's not, because we have to live the right life before others, and we can't live the right life before others if we're a schizophrenic Christian.
Amen. Help me out, Dr. G.
Well, I agree with everything that Sheila has said, and, you know, I go back and I think about I think about new birth, and over the years, I mean, I have preached many a sermons to help to help people understand about their life in Christ. But at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter what we preach, what we say. They're going to do what they want. And I've seen church folk get ugly mm-hmm. in church, cuss, and all in the name of the Lord. And all of this is in the house of God.
Yep.
And still perpetrate a fraud, as Sheila would say, and don't think that anything is going to happen. And I've also watched some of these same folk deteriorate as far as their health go,
yep.
and then they wanted folk to come in, pray for them and all of that. But at that point, unless you repent, you know, all mm-hmm. my prayers, I mean, I can pray, but you have to repent in order to have a chance to make it in. But we're living in a time where people just don't care. They want to do what they want, when they do, in the church, out the church.
Amen. And it's in the word. This word, you know, this is first century. This is first century Christianity, and it's the same thing in 21st century Christianity. And you know, it's one of those things where we have to understand, man is gonna be man, whatever century you're in, and sin is devastating to the human. It's the worst thing that could ever happen to us is when mankind, God's creation, believed the lie in the Garden of Eden, and they lost mm-hmm. their spiritual connection with God, and they died spiritually, and they were left to the devices of the flesh. That was the worst thing that ever happened to man. And he chose sin. He chose a lie over the truth of God, and he lost life. He had the tree of life. He had, you know, the relationship with God. He had everything God provided. God said, you don't need to know about good and evil. Stay away from that tree of knowledge of good and evil, because when you mess with that, you're going to disobey me, and you're going to be in a bad shape. And uh-huh. and he was big and bad. He made the choice to believe the lie. And everybody since then has suffered the consequences of sin, and God's going to judge sin. And God said, in Genesis 3rd chapter, he said, I'm going to put enmity in between you and Satan. You know, you're going to bruise his head, and he's going to bruise your heel. In other words, it's going to be a battle between good and evil. And,
yep.
and ultimately God is going to win. But he told the woman, he said, you know, you're going to have problems with childbearing. It's going to be rough. And you're going to have the desire to your husband. And he told the man, he said, yep, you're going to have to work by the sweat of your brow until you go back to the dust from which you came, because you were made from dust and you're going back to the dust. And he told Satan, he said, because you did this, that you're going to be on your belly. You know, there's consequences for sin, and you try to tell people that, but because, like you said, they've been turned over to a reprobate mind, they're going to do their thing. And so that's why it's so important for us to preach and teach and spread the good news, because people don't know what this word says. They're insulated from it. And they do their own things, and they like doing their own things, and they have no idea that their wages of sin is death, and you know, the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we have to continue to preach and teach this gospel like somebody's life depended on it. And that sermon that I preached, I asked the question at the end of that sermon. I said, how many people do you know that's going to hell? It was quiet. It was just a legitimate question. How many people do you know are going to hell based upon the word of God? How many people you know are going to hell? And you know, people say, well, you can't judge. You can't judge. And I said, but you can tell the fruit by you can tell the tree by the fruit that it bears. So yeah. If the tree is bearing good fruit, You can see it's good fruit, but if it's bearing bad fruit, you know, you can see that too. And a good tree can't bear bad fruit, and a bad tree can't bear good fruit. And so you're not judging, you're just observing the fruit. And it got quiet, Sheila G. How many people do you know are going in there? And I don't know. I mean, you're not judging, but what I'm saying and wrapping it up is there are people that need to hear the word of God, and we don't want to hurt people's feelings, and you know we want to you know be nice to everybody, but somebody presented the gospel to me, and I'm glad they presented it to me. Lord have mercy, I was able to make a change. And so many people don't have the gospel presented to them, right. Whether they're living it, whether they're speaking it, whether they're demonstrating it in their actions or how they treat each other, that a lot of people are not getting the word. The narrow gate is only few find it, but the wide gate folk, you know, they're going to find that one. But we gotta get serious about spreading this gospel. People used to come to church every Sunday, used to go to Bible study. People used to be kind to the neighbors and it's just gotten worse and worse, but that doesn't give us the privilege to give up and just say, well, y'all gonna be what you're gonna be. I ain't doing it no more. We have to have that love that God loved us. To reach out, get out of the four walls and say, hey, did you know this was in the Bible? You know, you don't want to go here. This is the way this world is, but God has given an alternative to with his grace that we don't have to do these things. Help me out, Sheila G.
Amen. And we as Christians need to get out of our comfort zone, to your point of getting outside the walls, to your point of not being so focused on how many people are in the building or how many people are in the church, instead of just focusing on, okay, God, what do you want me to do? What kind of outreach you want to do? I may be the only Bible that somebody sees. How do you want me to act when I'm in the grocery store and there's a new person that's at the cashier and they're having a hard time? Is that the time for me to act ugly, or is that the time for me to be kind and patient? Sometimes those little help to encourage someone because they're like, okay, there's something different about that. And that is just that God, we can through our godliness. And then if you leave, when you leave, say, okay, have a great day or have a blessed day, they're like, you know what, there's something different about that person. That person is being patient with me. And that is what we need to do. We need to do that outreach. We need to do the podcast thing. We need to step out of that little box and say, if you want to be saved, you got to walk up in our building. No. One, we need to put that message down to our members so our membership can take it out, as well as use those mediums that Satan uses to get to people for godly for godly purposes as well.
Amen. Well, we gonna ask that question again tonight. How many people do we know that might be going to hell? and what are we doing to present the gospel to them so they can make a decision not to go that way? It's a tough question. You have to wrestle with this because you don't want to judge, but just looking at the fruit, you can see somebody going the wrong way and not judge them and say, hey, have you tried God? And if they say, yeah, I know God, you're cool, you know? So we're going to go to phone lines. Yeah. What are we doing? Let's go to the phone line. See if this is going to prop somebody. So we're going to go to our first caller. Last four digits, 1741. 1741, good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Yes, from what I can see, the way the world is now, a lot of people are going to hell, but we all have a responsibility to try to do the best we can. All you can do is tell them about the word and be a witness and pray for them, keep praying, and keep praying for yourself.
That's right.
Amen.
That God will keep you on a straight and narrow pathway.
Yep.
But, yes, it is true. And it's funny because when COVID was going on, so many people wanted to get in church and go to church, and now the churches are open and they have an opportunity, and so many just won't come back, you know.
Come on, Reverend.
But God knows us. God knows the kind of people we are. And so thank God for grace. He said he's long-suffering. But we know it's going to come a day when grace going to run out.
That's right.
Lord have mercy.
So we have to just do the best that we can and just try to help people as much as we can.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last 4 digits, 6309. 6309, good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening. I couldn't actually say how many people I know that's going to hell, but all I just try to do is just, and you see people in just off the chain. All I try to do is talk to them and help them and keep myself straight, you know, because I might be one. I'm trying to stay in line myself, so that's what I do. Just talk to them. And talk to myself every day. Just stay in that place where you know. You see things coming up, and you know you can see him. You can see him coming.
Yeah.
But we have the tools. It's up to us how we're going to react.
That's
right. Because we got the tools. We know which way to go. We know what's right, and we know what's left, and we know what's right and wrong. So it's up to us and ourselves if we do. See somebody that's off the chain, like I was off the chain. He came and changed me, so I know.
Hallelujah.
I know it can
Hallelujah.
Be done.
Amen.
So I'm thankful, and like I said, I just pray for him and just talk to him and talk to myself too. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And that's what you have to do. You see people that are off the chain. I know there was one morning I couldn't work early in the morning, real early. And I was on this road, and it was divided by a grass median, and I saw a car that was going the wrong way on the wrong road.
Oh, no.
So they were headed for a head-on collision. So I negotiated the traffic early in the morning and got parallel with them and told them to turn around. You were going around. I'm blowing the horn, flashing lights, telling them to turn around, go the wrong. You're going the wrong way. Turn around. And I'm making all kinds of waves out my window and telling them to turn around because I knew if they kept going that path, they were going to end up in a bad situation. And so this is what I'm saying about people. How many people you know that are going to hell or going the opposite way of God, and what are we doing to talk to them, to tell them to turn around? Like I'm waving furiously, flash my light, and telling people, don't go that way. And this is what we have to have in our mind because it's not going to end right if we see people going the wrong way. So, well, I'm just going to continue with our next caller. Last 4 digits is... 1211. Good evening.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise
glad
the Lord.
To join you. I have read that an average person in their lifetime can influence 10,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow.
We should try to be ambassadors for Christ and assume the role of trying to be a positive influence on every one of them in case they're going down that wrong road.
Amen.
And I remember I always joked at my parents and my siblings because of my parents, we had a drug problem. They drug us to church, drug us to Sunday school, drug us to a Bible study, drug us to prayer meeting, and eventually we started going on our own.
Yeah.
And we're all saved. And
Amen.
And one song we learned at chapel, two men walked up a hill. One was gone, the other standing still. We should have all been ready. The days, the nights were long, the days were cold. A loaf of bread could buy a bag of gold.
Mm-hmm.
We should have all been ready. It's too late to change your mind if the king has come and you've been left behind. So we don't want anybody to be left behind.
Yep.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Our last 4 digits, 7611. 7611, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I missed it. I missed the question. I had a problem. Could I get the question?
That's
again?
Right. Yeah, yeah. How many people do you know are going the wrong way, opposite of God? What can we do to to help them to go the right way and not go the way of the hell way.
Oh, Lord. That's a good question, but you stick your hand into a fire and you get burnt, so you know a whole lot is going to hell. And you just try to keep, don't change yourself. Just keep throwing yourself at him and hoping that he'll change and catch the fire that's under you. And just work with you and just work to your heart the way it is and hope you listen to whatever you say. I see that problem happening a long time. A lot of people just don't listen to other people. And mm-hmm. a lot of people, they're trying to make some other people listen to them. And a lot of times they're doing something wrong to make them get some wrong ideas too. But we just have to keep praying and hoping that God will just open the door and let us all come in. Praise the Lord on that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for your comment tonight. We go to our next caller. Last four digits. 1411. 1411. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
No, definitely a great question. I know some folks that are on a path that I used to be on, and it's tough because let's say you're talking about people you care about. That's a different conversation than just maybe with somebody mm-hmm. you don't really have a relationship with. But for me, from mm-hmm. the standpoint of someone I care about, you know, I definitely have to pray. I also have to be prepared to have a difficult conversation with them and just, you know, keep telling myself that there is hope, because having that dialogue is not easy. We live in a world where people judge you not off of what you say, but how you act. And I think Sister Gregan always said, we're the only Bible that some people will see. So you have to lead by example, but also be mindful not to lose yourself in it. I think sometimes we get so frustrated when people don't get it and don't get it the way we, mm-hmm. you know, throw it to them. We tend to lose ourselves in it and then make it about us. And it's like, no, you can't get mad. It may take months, it may take years, but it's really going to test yeah. your perseverance and your dedication. You know, and God spoke to me a long time ago about this, and he said, look, you know, when somebody's up there preaching or pastor's preaching, he's not preaching to the majority. It's the minority. Only some people are going to mm-hmm. want to get it. When you're playing the piano, not everybody's going to be singing. It's the minority, and we have to realize that this journey is not meant for everybody. Your mom can't pray you into heaven. Your dad, your grandma can't pray you into heaven. Right. There's accountability. And we live in a world, and we talked about this in Sunday school, where everybody's pretending to be something else for show or for glitz or for glamour. And it's like, God can't save and God can't bless who you pretend to be. He's got to bless you. And then until you look in the mirror and realize that you have shortcomings and you need God, I can pray till I'm blue in the face. I can hold your hand and read the Bible and give you the number to prayer service and Bible study all day long. But if you can't accept who you are and your shortcomings and your fallings, there is no hope, because you're living this lie, pretending to be somebody else, and God knows. So you have to have that difficult conversation. And I think you guys touched on it about, I think I got on a little late, something about the mirror. You got to show them the mirror. And they're not going to like what they mm-hmm. see, but you got to remind them that there is hope. You don't have to be perfect. You got to just show up and put the effort in and the work, and over time and consistency, you'll change. But guess what? People may not be ready to receive that. Does that mean we quit? Does that mean we give up on them? We just say, hey, you keep going on that road to hell. I got to be prepared mm-hmm. to drive mm-hmm. on the wrong side of the road behind them and flash my lights and do what you did.
Come on,
but guess what? But if I see a car coming, I can't lose myself. I got to be like, hey, I got to turn back around, and we'll live to fight another day. I hope our paths cross again. But it's a very tough line, because there's so many emotions and so many feelings, and we have to continue to stay prayed up, because it is draining. It is taxing.
Yeah,
but who
yeah,
am I to
yeah.
give up on someone when someone who loved me and cared enough never stopped praying on me, never gave up on me? Because a lot of us used to be in those positions. So hold on to those mm-hmm. memories. Don't just condemn somebody. Yes, you're on the road, you know, to a place you don't want to go to. And when you get there, you can't get out. But we got to remember, we used to be on that same path. And I think if we mm-hmm. do those things and stay prayed up and stay encouraged and be patient with people, some people might get it right away. Some people may take time, but do not give up. And also
That's
understand
right.
that is our duty as Christians, is to try to steer people in the right direction. But you got to be prepared to have a difficult conversation. That pie in the sky sermon is not going to get it done this day and age. And again,
I know
people
right.
judge you based off of how you live. So they'd be like, okay, well, I'm going to see how you do and see how you're going to, like, you stand all these right things, but they're going to watch you. And in your actions or lack thereof, that's what's going to get them closer to God. Well, I hear Brandon, you know, saying all these scriptures and quotes, but let me see how he's handling adversity. Let me see how he's handling you know, dealing with difficult kids mm-hmm. or trying to be a perfect husband or on the job. And maybe if he's doing all of that, then you got them hooked because they realize it ain't just about what you say. It's about the actions and how you live it. We can tell more people about how we live than what we say a million times over. We're judged based off of our actions. But again, if we stay consistent, prayed up, and we do those things, there's hope. But we also have to be realistic that people have free will, and sometimes people got to go through the fire in order to get it. So it will happen in God's time, but you have to realize,
that's right.
Do not make it about you. It's about the will of God and our commitment to God to continue to do outreach and remember that we were those same souls that we're trying to save. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Well, Dr. G, there's a whole lot in that. You can kind of wrap it up and close us out. There's some serious stuff going on there, Dr. G.
Well, that is definitely the truth. And, you know, I was sitting here thinking, it's a shame that it has to be like this, but on occasion, we have to continue to preach and teach and pray for folk. But as Brandon was saying, you know, most folk don't want to hear it. But Lord will give you opportunities. I hate to say during death or sickness, those are times when you're able, but you can only do it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You take those moments to preach and kind of point folk in the right direction. And that's all that we can do is to point them. They have to accept it and want it. And if they don't, that's on them. Let us pray. Eternal God, we thank you, O Lord, for this evening. We thank you that we were able to get back on this Bible study line. Lord, we thank you for what we've studied. Help us, O God, that we might be made better for all that we've studied and all that we've gotten to learn. Now, Lord, we pray that you'll be with us one more night as we sleep through it. Lord, I pray that on tomorrow, if it's your will, that you awaken us and we can start a brand new day. For we do ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.